Turn with me to the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And the first sentence of verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What this land of ours needs are the people of God to have a fresh vision of God and of the work which He wants us to do. Without such renewed vision, there is blindness. And with that blindness comes the loss of spiritual power. We must be called to halt continually on the Christian pathway and inquire just where we really are spiritually and just what real progress we are making. Now, there are many things that we as believers are called to do and called to perform. We can do the daily tasks either with joy or in a state of grumbling, and perhaps even in a state of resentment. Such a state makes us miserable in ourselves, and we make others miserable as we walk in such a low standard in our Christian pathway and service. And we are a burden to the church and not a blessing to the church that we should be. To do all things in the name of the Lord. To do all things with the zeal of the Lord is the road to victory and the road to more and more victory. It comes to me a thing of no surprise that after many attacks upon his character, Oliver Cromwell, as a great Christian and as a great statesman, has now come into his own. And the critics who so held him up to all sorts of temptations and all sorts of agitation against truth are found to be the liars that they really were. When the statue of Oliver Cromwell was unfurled in front of Parliament buildings in London, they brought one of the greatest orators of the day to do the honors on that occasion. That great orator found his task was beyond even his great talents. He did, however, coin a phrase to describe the man whom the nation had learned to revere. He called the mighty Cromwell a practical mystic. Now, a white blackbird is a simple thing compared to a practical mystic. Cromwell was a prophet. He was a seer. Yes, and he was more than a seer. He walked with the God of his salvation. I never think of Oliver Cromwell, but I think of a dying girl who was brought to see the great man Cromwell. And all that dying girl heard, made Cromwell to hear, was of the beleaguered Waldenses of Italy, and how at that very moment they were being slaughtered by the swords of Rome and the Pope. So stirred was Cromwell with their plight that he issued a threat. If they didn't cease immediately, he would take an army to Italy and he would teach them by the edge of a sword. Needless to say, the Pope had no stomach for such a fight and pulled away his tormentors. And so the Waldenses have endured even to this day. The other person I always think of when I think of Cromwell was George Fox, the leader of the Quakers. George Fox was the opposite of Cromwell. He was a very plain, a very humble, and a very peaceful man. But Oliver Cromwell, the man of strength and war, the man of truth, was very closely tied into George Fox, who was the opposite in his temperament, but the same in his feeling. One day, Oliver Cromwell was found to be missing. No one had any idea of where the great man had gone to, or what he was doing, or why he was hiding. And they searched here, there, and yonder, but they found him not. By and by, a little girl pointed to a room at the top of a very long and high stairway. And she said, "Mr. Cromwell uses this room to pray in. Perhaps you will find him there." And sure enough, he was there. He was wrestling with his God in prayer. And God had knocked him into the corner. And what he didn't want to do, God commanded him to do. He came out of that room with the anointing of a second Jacob upon him. And that very same day he fought and won the momentous battle of Marston Moor, which stopped the Civil War and brought an end to the tyranny of the Stuart kings. It was Mr. Asquith who said, "I am glad that every member of Parliament, when he comes to take a seat, must look upon the statue of Cromwell." Cromwell was the only man in British history who beheaded a king. He was the only man who abolished the House of Commons, and he was the only man that reformed the House of Lords. And that's a tall order, but that's what he did. How did he do it? He did it because he was a practical mystic, a man of good spirit, a man of common sense, with the anointing of God upon him. He walked with his God. This is the type of man that God requires today. Our nation will not be lost because we have no engineers, no scientists, no lawyers, no medical experts. It is lost for men who know their God and can do exploits. One of the greatest things that we can have as believers is to have the vision that God wants us to have. In all of thy getting, get vision. Take time to be set on fire by the Spirit of God. Let the unquenchable flame of God maintain the fire. Go to your closets. Shut to the doors. Get down on your knees and ask God to set on fire a flame in your heart. And you will set not only your own heart on fire, but you will alight all around you with that celestial flame. But how can we get this vision? How can we set on fire or be set on fire with this fire that is divine? Oh, you can be orthodox, but flameless. There are many men and women in our country today who are Christians, and they have gifts, real gifts, but they have no glow. They have never walked on the coals of celestial flames. What all of us requires most urgently is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. When Christ was on earth, his disciples wanted to stay with him. But he told them in the simplest and plainest manner that he must leave them. He was very plain. He said, the best thing I can do is get you out of my sight. I'm going to leave you. It is expedient for you that I go away. That I am no longer with you. Because if I go not away, the baptism of fire will not be yours. But if I go away, you will be baptized with fire. And that is what happened. Christ was exalted to the most high God in the highest heaven. But the church below caught the fire of his Holy Spirit that came when Jesus returned to heaven. It was the Apostle Paul who boldly wrote the words, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Christ rose from the tomb. He is exalted to God's right hand. He is a prince and he is a savior. And he has wrought in our hearts the strange and mighty movement of his Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Go forth, dear Christian brother, dear Christian sister, inspired that God will enable you to pass on this holy fire when you yourself have caught its mighty flame. You might well ask of me this morning, where shall we start? The start, of course, is all important. There can be no progress made until we start. We must begin. Don't get stuck in a rut. Remember, a rut is just a little less deep than a grave. Don't ever chain yourself to any method. Land that is walked on and trodden in all the time never brings forth a harvest. Just think of that. Change your habits. Rise earlier in the morning to seek the Lord and read his word. Make the Bible, not Matthew Henry's Bible or Dr. Gill's Bible, but make it your very own Bible. Do not do today what you did yesterday. Change your ways. You are in a great mystery tour when the Spirit leads you. and you will enjoy his love and his flame as you obey his word. An old USA preacher once asked the question, what is a beginning? To do a thing for the first time, not by any means. That is just as likely to be an ending as a beginning. Beginning means continuing. A first step requires a second step. Otherwise, it is not more the first step than the last step. Beginning is putting your foot upon the mountain because you intend to climb that mountain. It is the outcome of what you have done and the promise of what you will do. The first step makes the second step possible and makes the second step necessary. The second step makes the first step profitable and honorable. The second step comes out of the first and prepares the way for the third step, the fourth step, and all the steps you need to take. It is a product of the first that is the creator of all that comes after. You can go out and you can see a row of poles, but that does not mean that those row of poles are a telegram system. You can attend courses on how to do things and never really be educated in the way. Throw no part of your life away. Ask God each day for a baptism of stickability. Redeem the time because the days are evil. You say to me this morning, how shall I begin? Are you really serious? Do you really want to begin, child of God? For this is a marriage from which there can be no divorce. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Well, we may ask ourselves the question, where shall we begin? Not with our opinions. Not with the opinions of others. Some say we should build on the truth. No, for it's your knowledge of the truth is what you're going to build. The foundation rock is Christ, who is the truth. But you have to build upon that rock and not upon the sand. You have to build upon that rock and not upon the sand. Take up your Bible. It's God's infallible book. It's the only really authoritative book in the whole world. Other books have mistakes in them, have lies in them, have departed from truth and light. But God's book is his infallible breath and word. You follow the Bible all the way back. Where does the Bible begin? When you get to the first word, it is in the beginning God. In the beginning God. You cannot go back any further than that. In the beginning God. This is where we all must start. This is where we all must begin. What God is, that is my beginning. That is the only safe beginning place. What God demands, I will do, even the sun falls out of heaven. What God teaches, I will believe. God, the eternal God, will be my refuge, and underneath will be his everlasting arms. To us it is a road of great impossibilities, but what has God said? There are no impossibilities with him. They do not exist. There is nothing impossible. possible with God. God has spoken. We bow to His eternal truth. He's a God that cannot lie. Go to Him. Look away your eyes in looking at Him. The world and its attainments will peel forever out of life's picture. God will occupy the whole of the picture, frame and all. Tell God every day that what He commands you to do today, you will certainly do it, and you'll do it joyfully and gladly and happily. Tell your Lord that what He teaches you, you will believe. You'll not turn aside from it. You will trust it. Tell God every day that what He commands you to do, you will do it with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Tell Him where He sends you, you will go. If it's to the north, you'll go there. If it's to the south, you'll go there. If it's to the east, or if it's to the west, you'll go there. Remember, if a servant has the Lord Jesus Christ before him, and he will have, and behind him, and he will have, if he has Christ as his foundation below him, if he has Christ above him, then he dare not deny to him the baptism of fire. God will send His fire upon the believer that has Christ before him and behind him and above him and below him. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee what? A crown of life. Remember, if you have seen Christ, you have seen the Father. Remember, every truth of God you will find in Jesus Christ. He is the express image of the Father's person and the brightest glory of the Father's majesty. You will only make the front line when you follow Jesus fully. Just think about that. Do you want to be in the front line for God? You can be when you follow Jesus fully. Let Christ's teaching control your whole life's work for serving Christ. For those who follow Christ, Christ says, they shall have the light of life. That is all this day and every day. Set out to walk with Jesus. My Jesus, every step of the road of service. May God make us daring Christians. Affectionate Christians. Devoted Christians. Let us be utterly loyal. Utterly faithful and utterly sincere. A Christian worker is truly the slave of Jesus. As Christ believes, so we will believe. What Christ demands, we will give Him. What He promises, we will trust. Remember, one day we shall really and truly be like Jesus. We shall see Him as He is. Human imagination never rose to a greater height of glory than that. We shall be like Him. To be like Him here is to do what He says. Let us do. To believe what He teaches. To go where He sends. To bear up under every load He puts upon us. That is a way to live for Him. Live by faith in Him. Let Christ be your vision. Glue your eyes on him. Let Christ be your aspiration. Keep your eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus. Let Christ be your inspiration. The driving power. Have no other ambition in life. But be like Jesus every day. I would be like Jesus. And what a transforming there will be in your life. What a transforming there'll be in your home. What a transformation there'll be in your prayers. What a change will be in your Bible reading. What a difference it'll make as you look at men and women that are lost, and they'll burn within you a desire to bring them to Christ. We never know what is happening when we witness for Christ. Yesterday, I was asked by the scouts in Ballymena to go down to their carrying of their colors, and they asked me to say a word, and I spoke a word in the gospel. The big man I've known for years, and he was there. He had a job of work to do, and he was doing it well. And he came to me afterwards, and he said to me, "Ian, I was very struck with what you said today." Oh, I said, "I'm glad." I said, "There was a lot of people here needed to hear that word in the gospel." And he looked at me, and he said, "Ian, there was no one needed to hear that word more than I needed it." A man that I never thought would ever have paid one tiny second to think of what the preacher was saying. But he heard. I pray that that word will be a seed of light that will bring forth much fruit for the honor of God. God wants us to be on fire. May we seek that fire that comes from God. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Suddenly there was a rushing, mighty wind. Suddenly the 120 people, all of them, caught the fire. And within hours, 3,000 more were converted to God. God is still on the throne. The Holy Spirit is still as powerful as ever he was. It is not by might that is human. It is not by power that is human. It is of the Spirit, saith the Lord. I pray that prayer this day. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word, and we pray that thou wouldst bless it to our hearts. And O God, may we seek the holy fire of God. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Light a fire in our hearts that can never be put out. And if there be some soul here today lost, Lord, save them. Some soul backslidden, Lord, restore them. Some soul needing the strength of God, Lord, empower them. Bless those that go and those that remain to pray. For Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.